Happy Monday, everybody, and happy holidays. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Let's get this awesome week started with a fun trip report. We're headed out to Central Illinois today with listener Jeff. We're talking about his trip down to Copper Creek at Disney's Wilderness Lodge Resort. He was down there celebrating his 25th wedding anniversary with his wife. They went to all four theme parks. He built a droid. We talk about a comparison to a famous store at the mall after we talked about the whole procedure there. We compared Boobash to Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party because he did that for the first time. We talked some awesome ADRs at places like Homecoming, Trails End, The Way for breakfast, and just so much fun from his trip. Lots of great stories from his experience down at Walt Disney World. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. Check them out today. We'd love to help you plan your next Disney adventure. Check them out over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. One extra click means a lot to us. Be Our Guest Podcast.com/Amazon. And today's show, of course, brought to you by the patrons of the Be Our Guest Podcast. Our supporters get a bonus show each and every week called Mike in the Midwest. To support the show on Patreon, come on over, patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2012 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com. And of course, one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you and happy Monday before Christmas. That's right. It is that week where we, it's a fun week because we're looking forward to Christmas this coming weekend. But it's also that scramble week. You know, you got to get those last minute presents. You might have some events to attend, maybe at your kids' schools. Maybe you got I don't even know how it's working anymore with the COVID times. Maybe you have a Christmas concert, band concerts, Christmas parties for work. Maybe those are by Zoom. I don't even know how the world works anymore since I don't teach and I work from home. I'm so disconnected, but I hope you get some time to just enjoy some Christmas music. And you know what? The most important thing, make Christmas cookies and then tear up Christmas cookies this week because that's what it's all about. Anyway, we're going to have a fun trip report because that's what we do here on Mondays. And we're headed to just a little bit east of me here to Central Illinois with listener Jeff. Jeff, Merry Christmas. How's it going?
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you too. Hopefully we'll avoid the storm here coming through tonight, but everything's going good. And Merry Christmas to everybody out there. And hopefully everybody has a good holiday.
That's right. Let's hope Santa's good to all of our listeners. I know the podcasters probably, Santa's like already written us off back in July because we're on the naughty list, but our listeners definitely on the nice list. So hope you get everything Santa has, has you on the good list there. And we're dodging some storms again as we're recording. Of course, we record these shows a little bit early, a couple days before we publish these. And man, I'm telling you what, we're here in the Midwest. How about this Midwest weather real quick before we get to today's topic? I mean, the day we're recording here, it's mid-December. I mean, it's in the mid-70s. This is not Christmas weather. My daughter keeps complaining about it. Mallory says, I want snow on Christmas. I'm wearing shorts. I went to the park. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. The temperatures, high 60s, but the wind, 20, 25 miles an hour. It's just so weird.
Yeah, the night we're recording, I saw that there was a wind gust in Lincoln, Nebraska, 93 miles an hour. So my buddy Wade is from Lincoln, Nebraska, so I'm hoping that he's hunkered down and he's safe. But I also thought, because he's an avid golfer, and this is how I think, I would have got out the driver, and I would have got my back to that wind, and I'd have teed up one, and just driven that thing so far that you would have never been like Alan Shepard on the moon. You would have never seen that thing hit the ground. It would have gone 700 yards. That's what I would have done, Wade. I'm just saying. You got to take advantage of the times. Anyway, let's get into the Disney talk. We're going to talk about your trip from last September. We're going to talk Copper Creek. I love Copper Creek. But before we do that, how about some background? Why are you a Disney fan and listening to a Disney podcast? Give us some background on all that.
Well, my wife and I, on our honeymoon, we went to Disney. I surprised her with a trip. She and I had never been either. Well, she had never been, but she grew up in California, so a little bit. So she had gone to Disneyland, and I hadn't gone since I was like 2 months old. So like in 72 with my parents. So of course I didn't remember any of it, but we went 25 years ago for our honeymoon, and that trip pretty much locked us in, secured us, you know. 5 years later, we took another trip, and then we just started taking more trips and more trips until we finally became DVC members. And, you know, once you're in there and you have the ability to go back, as you know, fairly often, you know, a couple times a year, it's kind of hard to stop. And we just fell in love and kept going.
It's an addiction. I know you have to go. You go. Everybody says, because I get this all the time with my guests at the Magic for Less, you know, this, we're going to go once, we're going to check it out. You know what? And thank you for being my repeat customer. You know, it's like, hello, it's like, it's good talking to you again. No, it is true. Most people have a good time and want to get to, you know, you just can't see it all, but you get that touch. Like, I want to see some of the other stuff I didn't get to see, which is fun. But let me ask you about this, because you mentioned your honeymoon. What do you remember about that trip? Is, you know, just about the experience of being at Walt Disney World, about how different it was as far as like accommodations and what the theme park experience was like. What was it like, you know, from then to now when you went down?
Well, of course, going for our first time, I didn't know what to expect, and I had never been to Disneyland, and I'd only been to a few amusement parks, and I wasn't a huge roller coaster fan or thrill ride fan, but I knew she loved Disney, and I knew I was going to like it. So when we went, we stayed at the All-Star Sports Resort, and we only went for 5 days. So, you know, it was a short trip, but back then, you know, you only had the three parks. And, you know, going in the first time and seeing how big it was and everything around you, and walking down Main Street and seeing the castle and going on the rides for the first time, it was like, oh, this is incredible. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. And, then going to MGM Studios at the time, and walking down towards the Tower of Terror. And like I said, I wasn't a big amusement park ride person. Walking down towards the Tower of Terror, my wife's like, "You want to ride that?" And I looked up and I go, "Maybe next time."
Smart, smart man.
But we did stay. Back then, they had the fireworks over the theater, and the last night, we went and we did the park and we had a good time, and we went and sat in front of the theater for the fireworks display. And about, you know, 15, 20 minutes before it started, they came across and said, "Just let everybody know there's a storm coming. There's a good chance we're going to get rain, but we are going to do the fireworks. So if you stay, you'll be able to see them." And we sat there, and slowly but surely, people started to leave. We started moving closer. More people left. We started moving closer. Then it started to rain, and more people left. And by the time they started the fireworks, I think there was probably about 40 or 50 of us all huddled in a big ball in the center watching the fireworks go off. But it's something I'll never forget, that's for sure.
It's a private fireworks show. You don't get that often at Walt Disney World. I mean, semi-private. That's great to hear. And, you know, here's the thing. When I hear that trip, you know, I think we all kind of have that first experience, and a lot of us did start at like an All-Star movies, sports, music, you know, a Pop Century, something like that. Mine was at All-Star Sports as well. And, you know, everything is new and everything is enormous. And it's just because, you know, right now we think about, you know, you got to devise the perfect plan. You know, we have this Magic Kingdom has to be on Tuesday, then Epcot's going to be on Thursday, and we got to have a rest period for 2 hours on Wednesday between 2 and 4. And we come up with all these, you know, strategies and stuff. I mean, that's honestly what we do here on the show. We talk about the best ways to have a great vacation. But the funny thing is that when you go in with no expectations and no knowledge and no anything, you really can still, I mean, you're not setting yourself up for success. I'm not advocating this, but when you don't really have any expectations, it's just you and your significant other, especially like on a honeymoon or, you know, some kind of trip where you're just down there to enjoy, you know, the company of the other person. you could have a blast because everything's new. And it's just like having that corn dog on Main Street is just, it's the greatest thing in the world. It's just being there. Like hearing that, that makes me happy because, you know, All-Star Sports, great resort. Like it's just fun being there and it's a great trip.
Yeah. We definitely didn't have any expectations when we went, because like I said, we'd never been there before, and it was nice to be free to just be able to go and do what we wanted and make our way around the park. Of course, you know, we'd heard from other people and read some stuff about what you should do and where you should go and stuff like that. But, you know, we were in the parks before they opened. We stayed until they closed. We rode every ride we possibly could as many times as we could. And, you know, back then you could walk onto most of the major rides and ride them 3 or 4 times in a row before you walked away.
Crazy. I know. Seriously. I feel like the old guy. Those were the days. Yeah, I totally remember that. Okay, let me ask you one other thing before we hop into the trip and talk about Copper Creek and your stay down in September. I've been asking everybody this in the 50th anniversary celebration year here, so you have a history with the parks. If you could bring back anything from the past, a promotion, an attraction, a parade, any experience, what would you bring back and why? You get to bring back one thing.
One of the things I really remember, especially with being able to experience Animal Kingdom opening originally, is Tarzan Rocks.
Alfred's in the live chat as we speak. He is sending positive vibes your way because that is his thing. He loves Tarzan Rocks.
Yeah, I was so floored when they decided to close it. And we went there every time we went to Animal Kingdom and watched it. I mean, no matter how hot it was, you're sitting there sweating, packed in there with all these people. We just enjoyed it. And our kids, once they got, you know, once we were able to take them and they could enjoy it too, unfortunately, my daughter didn't get a chance to see it. My son did.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the shows, that's one of the things. You have to be an old timer to know this. But the shows at Animal Kingdom back in the day when you watch those, You lost 5 pounds watching a show. I'm telling you what, the people that were in Tarzan Rocks, they lost 10 pounds every show.
Oh, yeah.
Skating around, jumping over the drummer. It was nuts. And the Tarzan climbing the vines. Those actors were crazy active all over the place on the stage. But I'm telling you what, it was like 150 degrees in that theater, no air conditioning. And it was the same thing for Festival of the Lion King, remember? Because the theater wasn't in Harambe. It was over in Camp Minnie Mickey back in the day. And it was not air-conditioned. People are going to think I'm kidding. You can back me up. That theater was, because I almost fell out one day. I remember I was so hot in that show, I couldn't believe it. Because, you know, it was July. And we're in that theater, no air-conditioned, watching a show. Nuts.
Oh, yeah. It was always weird because you go in there and they'd be trying to pack more people in, and everybody's trying to sit 6 feet away from each other before we even had social distancing.
That's right.
You're trying to pack it. Everybody needs to scoot over, and everybody scoot about 6 inches, and then they'd be like, no, a little bit more.
Yes, it was the original social distancing. All right, that's a great memory, though. Oh, my gosh, it was so hot. Yeah, so glad when that, because that's now the theater for the Finding Nemo show, which they closed in air conditioned, and God bless air conditioning at the Animal Kingdom. All right, so let's talk about your trip in September. How did that come together? You guys went down to Copper Creek, but who went with you, and how'd you guys plan it out, and why'd you go in September?
Well, we went for our anniversary, 25 years. We've been talking about doing something, and we kept trying to think of someplace else possibly we wanted to go, but it always came back to Disney, and with DVC points and everything, it just kind of made more sense. And we've stayed at Wilderness Lodge before in the older villas, and we always liked it. We liked being near the Magic Kingdom, but yet not being on the main hub. And so we decided to stay there, and we could get a studio there. So we booked that. We didn't go until September because, as you know, and you just said, in July, which is our anniversary, it's extremely hot there.
Yes, it is.
And we tried to cool it off a little bit more by pushing it to September, and plus the kids were back in school, so we didn't feel quite so bad about not taking them.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I mean, it's 25th anniversary. Congratulations, by the way, on your 25th anniversary. Yeah, and yeah, I mean, you know, that way, kids, you got, you know, stay in school, right? You got to get education. Parents got to go have some fun. So now let me ask you, though, because we all know Walt Disney World, you know, Central Florida weather can be hit or miss. I mean, it can be just as hot in September as it is in July. Did you guys happen to fall upon a good week, or was it just hot as blazes when you were there anyway?
The temperature wasn't too bad. It got warm a couple days. We had our biggest problem. We had more heavy rain that week than we did in any previous trip, I feel like. I mean, there were just days where it just hit in the middle of the day and just poured like crazy. And, you know, we got soaked trying to get back to the bus or the car. But, the temperature was actually very, very good compared to what, you know, going in July and June and stuff.
All right, sounds good. Let's talk about Copper Creek, though. So you'd stayed at Boulder Ridge, which is the other part of Wilderness Lodge. It's the DVC section. Copper Creek's kind of the newer addition to that. So how would you rank that, or how would you review that for folks that might be looking to stay here on a future trip?
We loved it. We actually stayed in the newer rooms inside of the main building. And funny story, we drove down for the trip. We decided to drive to save some money. And we left at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. She got off work early and I took off work early. And we started driving. And the whole idea was we were going to stop on the way down, stay overnight. So I drove as long as I possibly could. I started getting tired, so I let my wife take over. And I said, now just, you know, wherever you feel like stopping, just stop and we'll get a hotel.
Valdosta, Georgia, by the way. That was always where we said we were going to stop and we never did. But go ahead. I bet you didn't stop. Go ahead.
Oh, we've stopped there before. So I fell asleep and I wake up and it's daylight. And I'm like, where are we at? Florida. I said, oh, so I guess we decided not to stop.
Been there.
So we got there at like 8:30 in the morning. And I was like, you know, we'll go ahead and check in and drop the car off and, you know, maybe bring some bags in or whatever about services and then go on. And we were both like, yeah, we just want to get in, get cleaned up and grab a snack. And I go into Bell Services, or go into the front desk, and I was like, yeah, I just want to check in, make sure our magic bands are going to work, and blah, 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 blah. And I said, but I'm pretty sure you probably don't have a room available. She's like, well, let me check. And she went in and checked. And they had one room available in the type that we wanted at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, yes, we'll take it.
That's the greatest feeling in the world. After you've driven all night, you're just like, oh yeah, I got a bed and a shower. Yes, I'll take it. Sold. I've been there.
So we went ahead and got everything in and took it in, and we ended up being on, I believe it was the fourth floor, with a view of our view was of the other villas and the pool area, and we could see some of the cabins out of our off of our veranda or whatever you want to call it. And it was nice. It was up on the club level. So we walked right past where the club doors are and stuff like that. And it was awesome. You know, they have the nice huge showers, and you got your little kitchenette area with the refrigerator, and it's just a beautiful resort.
Well, the whole two, if you've never stayed at Wilderness Lodge, and I would guess, if I had to guess with our audience, I would say probably it's 50-50. Probably half of our audience maybe has stayed there, maybe 50% haven't, just because some people stay, you know, all value. Some people maybe haven't discovered Wilderness Lodge. Because I think, you know, for me, if I had to kind of guess where our audience falls, I think some people have Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom Lodge kind of off the radar. You know, I think you think of Yacht Beach and Boardwalk a lot. I think we get a lot of talk of those three resorts over in the Epcot area. And then, of course, you get the monorail resorts, the Grand, Contemporary, and the Poly. But Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom Lodge are kind of, you know, they're like outliers there in the deluxe category. They're almost like a moderate plus or deluxe light. But I'll tell you what, of course, this time of year, Wilderness Lodge cannot be beat. It is the Christmas resort. But any time of the year, it just has such a feel to it. not only in the main lodge, which is amazing with the big fireplace, Whispering Canyon going on, the brook with the bridge, and this lodge just feels, Wilderness Lodge feels homey. It's got a great pool. I mean, it's got, but the outside grounds, like you mentioned, if you're walking around out by the cabins, you got Geyser Point, you got the big geyser that erupts, you know, every so often, I don't know, like every 30 minutes or so, you can walk out to the water. And the greatest thing is, you mentioned it kind of earlier, is that you feel like you are kind of remote. You feel like you're not close to anything, but then you hop on a boat at the boat dock and within 12 minutes, you're bam, you're at the Magic Kingdom. Like, you're at like crazy central. I mean, you're like where everybody is in the entire world. I just want to encourage folks, because you did a great job of selling it there. But if you've never thought of Wilderness Lodge, you know, try to catch it maybe sometime on a discount. That might be kind of a hard thing to do, but it's a great place to stay. Give it a shot. Even if you got split, you know, maybe do a combination of like a Riverside and a Wilderness Lodge and do a couple nights there. It's a hidden gem. I mean, if you've never tried it, I just tried it one time on a whim on a discount and we fell in love with the place. But I love that kind of color scheme, like the dark greens, the browns, and just it just feels nice. I like the feel of the whole place.
Yeah, feeling like you're staying in a huge log cabin and mm-hmm. and being able to walk around and you're that close to everything, but yet with the trees and everything, you feel like you're out in the middle of nowhere. And the scenes are beautiful. The hotel is beautiful. It's a nice place to stay.
All right, so let's hop into the theme park. So give us some feedback on that. I saw that you got to do the Remy preview, the AP preview. So give us your thoughts on that, because a lot of folks still haven't done that attraction. I thought it was pretty good. What'd you think?
Yeah, we got there. Unfortunately, we got there a little bit later than we wanted to because we were at another park and made our way over there. And we got in and we went back and checked in, and the decor is spot on with everything else, and you know, it just flows right back there. And you go back, and considering it was a preview, there wasn't very many people back there, so it was nice to just wander around and take a look at everything. I don't know if the creperie was open when we were there. I think it might have been closed. I don't remember. So we didn't go in there, but riding the ride, you know, you're walking through and you're seeing the wallpaper that has the mouse on it and or Remy on it, and just the decor and the scenes as you're walking in of being on the skyline and everything. And you go in and you get on the ride, and if you've ridden, you know, Rise of the Resistance, and you've ridden, you know, Runaway Railway, you know what the ride vehicles are like, but the way they move around independently of themselves, it looks magical. Because nice. They just come out of, they come in this door and they go flying around, and if there's an open space, they're spinning around and they just fly right up to where you're going to get on. And it's just really, I thought it was an amazing ride, and I thought the whole technology of it is just out of this world.
Yeah, what I really like about it and those kind of attractions is we're seeing them, you know, kind of come into their own, is that especially for that first few rides, and I've only been on Remy once at this point, is that you really can't predict what's going to happen. Because, you know, like on traditional rides, you see the track, basically, you know, right. Like, okay, we're headed this way. Like you said, man, you don't know where you're going. And like, you may be the front car out of a group of three. And then all of a sudden you turn around, you're in the middle. And then, all of a sudden, you know, 10 seconds later, you're in the back. Like, you're like, how'd that happen? You know, those people, wait, they were just behind me. You know, now they're in front of me, and you know, you're right up close to a prop. And then all of a sudden you're on the other side of the room. It's well done. It's one of those rides, you know, it's an e-ticket ride in the fact that it's well done. It's a dark ride. It makes you laugh, but I like it because it doesn't set your hair on fire. Grandma can ride it with you. Everybody can ride it. Everybody can laugh, but it doesn't have to flip you upside down and give you 7 G's. You know, that's what I like about it. It's a dark ride, but it's a 2021 dark ride. It's well done.
Oh yeah. And the technology with the screens and the movement and you know, just the projections. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, we ended up riding it three times in a row because during the previews, they don't care how many times you ride it. So we would go in, ride it, come out, get right back in line. And we rode it three times in a row and we found out later that unless they got really packed back there, you could stay as long as you wanted to, because, you know, the preview was supposed to be an hour, but they were, you know, we talked to people that had gone back there for an hour and a half, 2 hours. So, but it was awesome.
If you get AP preview, make sure you hang out. All right. We want to get to a bunch of stuff. So, let's talk about some times in the other parks. So let's go over to the studios. I know that you built a droid over there. So you want to talk about that? Because I get all kinds of questions about this at the travel agency and listener questions here on the podcast. So first of all, did it live up to your expectations and how did that go?
Yeah, it did. We actually made the reservation so that we could get into the park as early as possible. It was at 8:30 in the morning. And we went in and I thought from what I heard in the past, usually they let you go back to the Star Wars area and Galaxy's Edge and you can go back there and kind of make your way back. But they actually held us back when we first went in and they wouldn't let anybody through until a certain time. So we were pretty much a little after 8:30 by the time we got back there, but it was still really cool to be able to walk back there when there was hardly anybody in the park and get back there. And you walk in and, you know, you tell them what you want and you pick out what kind of droid you want to make and they have the choice of the R2-D2 style or the BB-8 style. And you get chips that you can buy that have different personalities. So, like, it might be personality of the Force, or it might be a personality from the dark side. So, you know, depending on the chips that you buy. And so we went in and then they tell you to pick out what kind of droid you want, and you pick out the core of it that makes it move around and everything. And then you pick out the color scheme of the outside of the droid that you want. So you can pick, you know, if you want blue on top, red on bottom, you know, whatever. I actually picked the BB-8 style, and it's purple and black. And then you go over and there's like, I think there was maybe 10 stations, maybe a few more, but the area I was in, there's about 10 stations and they have these little tools there that you use and you take it all apart and start putting it together. And there's little directions around it to show you how to do it. And you snap it together and, you know, you got to connect these little wires here to make sure the droid's going to run properly. And awesome. You slide in the chip to make sure it has a personality. And then the little head part is magnetic so that it stays on. And then you have to program it. So you put it in there and you push a button and it programs it to run properly. And there's a cast member there helping you along the way. And, you know, you're using these different tools to put it together. And it was really cool. I mean, as a, you know, almost 50-year-old adult, it was cool. It was something that, you know, I could see taking my kids there and letting them do it and them really enjoying it.
You know what? No, you just totally disagree, because I have not made one yet, and I've not made a lightsaber yet, because that is my wife. I'm kind of frugal, and I haven't done it, and I just could see my wife falling out because I go down these solo trips for races. If I roll in from a race with a lightsaber, because she knows how much they cost, right? Or a droid. She's like, what are you going to do with that droid? I don't know. It's cool. Like, it'd be cool to me. It wouldn't be cool to her is a problem. But yeah, the way you described it, though, what it is, basically, it's Build-A-Bear for guys like us that are Star Wars fans. That's totally what it is. Because, oh my God, Paige, my oldest, when she was little, she must have built 10 Build-A-Bears, because for her birthday, her grandma would always give her a gift certificate for a Build-A-Bear. So then we'd have to go to Build-A-Bear. And I'd have to stand in there for an hour when she picked out the outfit. Then had to get the stuffing. And, oh, my Lord, pick out a little heart and get it sewn in. But that's exactly what you're doing with your droid. That's exactly it. That's awesome. I didn't even think about it that way. It's cool, though. Okay, so that's awesome. Go and give that a shot. So I want to make sure we get all this in, though. So what about the Magic Kingdom when you went over there? Any highlights from the day at the Magic Kingdom?
Well, we trying to remember back now.
No, it's been a little bit. I apologize. Or any of the other parks. We could talk Animal Kingdom. I know you also went to the studios, so we're just kind of hitting the theme parks at this point.
Yeah. Well, that day that we were at the studios, we actually got a virtual queue for Rise of the Resistance because they were still doing it then. And it was supposed to be at... I can't remember. It was... We were fairly early in the day. Like in the lower numbers. And like around 50, I think. So we didn't have a long time to wait. And it broke down that day.
Oh, man.
So we... When we went, we didn't find out until we went, and it just, you know, they just kept kicking our time and kicking our time and kicking our time. And so we finally just gave up and we're like, we're not going to get on it today. It's not worth it because we had other things to do. And we had some friends that were down there at the time that we were going to meet up with. So we didn't want to have to wait too long. And we actually went over to... try again to Trader Sam's. And as we're sitting there having a few drinks at the bar, the thing pops up on my Disney Experience that says, your Rise of the Resistance queue has been called.
See, that is wrong. That is so wrong. Like, they should not be allowed. Like, they should have a locate. They know your location, right? In that app, they know where you are. And if you are somewhere other than that park, having a better time at, like, Trader Sam's, that is wrong of you, Disney, to even throw that out there that, like, you would have to leave a Trader Sam's, even to give you that option, like, oh, my gosh, I could go ride Rise right now if I halt. Nope, you should not do that. Like, you've already written it off. You've made your peace with that decision. Do not put that variable back into the equation, Disney. That is wrong. Now, you didn't go, did you? Trader Sam's.
Oh, no.
I mean, you're just... having a good time. Don't leave. No, but it's still Disney. Stop.
We were going to go on a different day, so we... We were perfectly fine with just waiting and seeing if we got on. We've ridden it before, so.
Good.
But speaking of Magic Kingdom, I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but we actually did Boo Bash.
Oh, nice.
So.
Well, let me ask you this, though, real quick. Had you ever done Mickey's Not So Scary?
It's like we have.
Okay, so what'd you think of comparing the two?
I mean, it was definitely not as extravagant as Mickey's Not So Scary. But they did a lot of the same things. I mean, they didn't have, of course, the fireworks, which, you know, was sad. But we went early enough that we could watch. They did the regular fireworks at the park, so we could watch the regular fireworks. So we got to see Happily Ever After. But, you know, you could go around, and they gave you a bag, and you collected candy, of course, and you got cookies, and there were some drinks that you could get or purchase. And so we had a few things on a list that we wanted to check out. And we checked those things out. But we went more for just the opportunity to ride rides without long waits. So we just made our way around the park and jumped on everything and got to ride pretty much everything in less than like 20 minutes.
Nice.
So it was really nice.
That sounds good. Yeah, that's good. I mean, we always say, you know, if you're going to the parties, go for the party events. But I mean, you could also go the opposite, actual opposite way. And really, if you're there for the rides, that's what everybody else is doing. You know, take advantage of that. So that's great. Okay, you mentioned that you went to the studios because you had not been. You wanted to do some of the Harry Potter stuff. Our fans, a lot of times, head over to the other side of the road there. So give us a little review of that. How'd that go for you? Disney fan over at Universal.
Yeah, we got a couple day pass with the ability to go to either park. So we went into Islands of Adventure first and made our way back straight to the Harry Potter area. And we got on the Hogwarts ride in the castle. Can't remember the name off the top of my head.
The Hogwarts Express, right? The train?
No, the
the one where you're riding the broom?
The broomstick ride, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't ride that one because everybody said it would make me puke. So I was like, I'm out because we just finished eating. I was like, nope. It's all you got to say once. I'm not a Harry Potter fan anyway, so I'll see you at the exit.
I can see how that could be. We had to wait in line for probably about 30 minutes, and I didn't know what to expect. I'd never ridden it before. My wife had, but we got on it, and it's like a row of chairs, and you sit down, and you know, you buckle in, and then it breaks off into like sections of three or four, and there's like a mirror in front of you that's showing you sitting in the chair and everything, and then it spins around and goes through a door, and it starts the scenes with Harry and Hermione and Ron, and they're going to teach you how to fly a broomstick and blah blah blah. So you're going out, and I'm like, how is this working? How do we do this? Because, you know, being in theme parks, you're trying to figure out how the rides work. And, I mean, they're moving up and down and sideways and all over the place. And I'm like, this is cool. I've never ridden on anything like this before. And, you know, they're pulling you through scenes and, you know, you're getting this close to spiders and all kinds of stuff. And it was a really cool ride. I would definitely suggest going there, not just for that one, but for all of the different Harry Potter rides.
And I'll say, even just not being anybody who, I've never read the books, I've never seen the movies, which is kind of a shame because I taught sixth grade in the, you know, late 1990s all through the 2000s when Harry Potter was like all the rage. I remember that I even had like parents in our school that would not like let their kids have the Harry. I mean, it was like controversial too at our, again, I'm in Missouri. So, you know, some parents were like, you know, this is the devil. It was a big thing. I mean, it was that popular that it was, you know, that hot. But all my kids were reading the books. And I try. There's certain things. I'm a sports guy. I'm a space guy. I tried to read it. I tried to watch the movie. When I worked at Space Camp, in the IMAX theater they have at Space Camp, they showed us for like worker appreciation night. They gave us all the free popcorn soda we wanted, and they showed one of the Harry Potter movies. I was asleep in 10 minutes. I just remember something. The kid was under the stairs. Some bat flew in to the door. I was asleep. I was like, that's all I knew. And so I tried. But I will say, all that said, not being a Harry Potter fan, not knowing much, like that whole land was just, I mean, the immersion of it, just being like in that bank scene and just the whole land of Diagon Alley and just the stores and everything. I mean, I was just blown away, and I didn't know what any of the details meant, but it was just cool to walk around in that environment. I loved it.
Oh yeah. It was amazing. Like you said, it's a very immersive. You get in there and you know, it's, you're in Diagon Alley, you're at Hogwarts, you're in Hogsmeade, you know, you get butterbeer, you walk by the wand shop, you can go in and get a wand. You can, you know, there's stuff everywhere. There's the platform 9 3/4. You know, it's
that was one of the things that really blew me away. I love that. And I was like, what's up with 9 3/4? I don't know what this means, but that is pretty cool. I was like, I've never seen a train station like this. This is cool. This is awesome.
But I would have to say probably the best ride in that area is Hagrid's motorbike. And it's fast. It's, you know, it's got pretty much everything and stuff that you've probably never experienced before. And it's a thrilling ride. We rode it probably the most. We probably rode it about 5 times, but, then we made it over to, we took the train over and went over to the other side and rode, Escape from Gringotts. And that was a very impressive ride as well with the, you know, the graphics and the show and everything. It was awesome.
Now I'm guessing, I guess it was open, but I'm guessing you didn't ride Velocicoaster.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, you did? Okay. Was that nuts? That thing looks crazy.
It took me a while to build up the, excitement to get on it. we kind of did the go over to the Hulk and ride it to kind of get your adrenaline pumping. And then afterwards I was like, okay, let's go do it. And I'll tell you what, that ride, I felt like I was coming out of my seat more on that ride than I've ever felt on any ride in my life.
That's what I don't want to feel on a roller coaster.
And the way the ride is set up, the seat is elevated, so your feet don't touch the ground. And from experience, you know, I just automatically pushed my feet up against the front of the car, thinking that was the best way to, you know, anchor myself. And we went through the first loop, and as you get to the top of the first loop, it turns you over so that you're actually straight up and down, and then you go over the side of it, and you're going backwards. I felt like I was pushing myself out of the seat. And then it does a corkscrew over the water, and I felt like I was falling out there. So I think the reason it's elevated is so you can wrap your legs underneath the seat to hold yourself in.
That's just what I need.
And it's just a lap thing that comes down and wraps across your legs and holds you in. So.
Oh, man. It would need to be an underwear store right at that gift shop at the end. Just saying. No, thanks. I would do it once and I'd be like, what am I doing? I paid money for that. Nope. Anyway, okay, so we're running a little short, but I want to make sure we get into dining because we have to talk dining on every show. So let's head back over to Walt Disney World. You did okay. You had some killer dining: Homecoming, Trails End, Le Cellier, California Grill. You ate at the Long Gone Wave, which is now Steakhouse 71. So give us just a couple of reviews. A couple of those restaurants. What are some of the memorable meals that you had?
Trails End. We went there on our second day. And at 7:30 in the morning, and you know, with it being COVID, we couldn't, of course, they didn't do the buffet, they did the family dining, which, you know, for two people is a lot.
Yeah, that's a little lot. Yeah, exactly. But he's like, whoa, okay.
So we got there, and I had heard right before we went on the trip that they didn't have the Pog juice anymore. They had a shortage or something like that. So the first thing I asked when I got there was, do you guys have the Pog juice? And they're like, oh yeah, we just got it in today. I was like, awesome. So I'll have that. And it was the first time I tried it, and it was really good. But you know, we got the platter with the eggs and the what was it? It was brisket hash browns, I think is what it is. And, the bacon, the sausage, the mini waffles, and everything. And we just ate ourselves into a coma, practically. Yes. But we got down towards the end, and the waiter came up, and he's like, can I get you anything else? And my wife was like, well, we'd kind of like to have some more of those hash browns and maybe some bacon and stuff, you know, just part of it. But we don't want a whole platter. He's like, okay, I'll take care of you. And he brought out this little cast iron pan that was probably only about that size, with just a little bit more on there, so we would just get our fill.
Oh, nice. That's good, because I get to see them sometimes. They are, I mean, I know they're trying to give your money's worth, but those bring out so much food, and it is kind of wasteful. I mean, I hate it. You're paying like $50. I mean, you're paying for the food 10 times over, but it's just like, you know, I wish that, that's good. Yeah, that's portion. I don't want to say portion control because of all that controversy like 6 weeks ago with all that earnings call. I don't like that either. But, you know, you don't need to be wasteful. You don't need to bring a whole platter when it's somebody just asking for a little bit more after they've had a full platter, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, that's good to hear.
But then a couple of days later, we ate at the Wave, which was up in the California Grill because they were redoing it to Steakhouse 71. And, we've eaten at the California Grill before, but the views there are just fantastic. I mean, walk out and take pictures. You can see the castle and pretty much all the Magic Kingdom. And it was just amazing. We got, I actually got to try grits for the first time. I'd never had those before. That was really good. And it was just a really great environment.
So shout out, anytime we mention the Wave or Steakhouse 71, got to send a shout out to our favorite server, Timothy, who, if you ever go to Steakhouse 71, ask for Tim. He's awesome. He's a legend out there. So, just a shout out to Tim. All right. So, real quick though, how about Homecoming though? Cause we're talking about all these comfort foods. You're eating grits. The place to get grits is Homecoming. But what'd you get over at Homecoming? How was that meal?
Well, we went over there and we had brunch. We were able to get a brunch reservation. We went there and ordered. When you sat down, we were like, oh, we're going to have the brunch. She's like, well, you can order pretty much whatever you want. It's, you know, you're not just set to the brunch menu. But we ate off the brunch menu, and we had the deviled eggs. My wife had chicken and waffles. We had Bloody Mary. I got some moonshine, of course. You can't go there without getting moonshine. And then I had some grits there, too. There, so I made sure I got it everywhere I went.
You have your you're a Southerner now. That you have your my grandma would be proud. She's from Kentucky. She always was dishing grits on everybody. And like when we were kids, I'm like, that stuff doesn't even look good. Like I'll do biscuits and gravy, but grits just looks like, I don't know, looks like you left something out. I mean, I used to eat it, but it didn't look as appetizing as biscuits and gravy, which was the other option. Okay, let me ask you, and by the way, the first two things you mentioned that your wife got, deviled eggs and chicken and waffles at homecoming, that's my go-to right there. I mean, you named the top three things, man. Those deviled, church lady deviled eggs and chicken and waffles. I mean, that's all I need. And I've had the moonshine there once when we went with like all the podcast folks. That stuff is like jet fuel. That stuff was, because I don't drink alcohol often. That stuff was so hot. I was like, is this stuff legal? Like, am I drinking rubbing alcohol? I mean, it was hot. They're like, what flavor did you get? I was like, I don't know. I got hot. That stuff was burning me. I mean, that's the only time in my life I've ever had moonshine. So that might be it.
That's probably it.
It was smoking hot. All right. So let me ask you one other question before we get out of here. Any trips on the horizon? Like, when are you guys heading back? Or do you have anything, even if it's not on the books, like something you're thinking about going back? You know, what's up for the future?
We're actually going back the beginning of February, February 2nd. Through the 9th. It's going to be a large family visit. We're staying at Old Key West. It's going to be me, my wife, and my kids, and my dad, and then my sister and her husband and daughter. So,
Old Key West is amazing. You've stayed there before, haven't you, DVC?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, I love that place. You have your ADR for Olivia set up?
No.
Oh, come on now. You can't stay at Old Key West without an Olivia's ADR. You got to have hand in hand.
We'll definitely have to do that. We do have a ADR for Steakhouse 71 and another one for Homecoming. So we've got those set up.
All right. That'll work. All right. Well, hey, Jeff, I appreciate you taking the time. Great way to start the week. Awesome trip. Again, happy congratulations on the 25th anniversary. And we appreciate you coming on. And this is a great way to start the week. So Merry Christmas to you and your family out in Central Illinois. And I hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you guys and everybody out there. And thanks for having me.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Drop by this week over at themagicforless.com. While you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote form. But before you fill out that quote form, just browse the site. Check out all the great trip planning tools. We have great resort guides over there. You want to check out all about Old Key West? You click on the Old Key West resort guide. You can see there's deluxe studios, one bedrooms, two bedrooms. You can see what they look at, the room layouts. You can see that the two-bedroom is larger than my house. It's crazy big over at Old Key West. You can see what the pool looks like. You can check out Olivia's. You can see the community room. The resort guides are amazing. They show you where the resorts are on property, which theme parks are they close to. I'm telling you what, anytime you're getting ready to plan a trip, check out the resort guides over at the Magic for Less to get started. And then again, we'll take care of you from there. So fill out that quote form, mention the show. It'll come to me. We'll plan the trip together. It'll be all fun. Get you the best price possible, and we'll take great care of you. So again, check them out at themagicforless.com. Also, last-minute shopping over on Amazon. Please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you very much to our patrons. We are very appreciative of your support. You allow us to put this show out 3 to 4 times a week all around the world. We couldn't do it without you. And our patrons get a bonus show every week called Mike in the Midwest. This week, it might be about 70-mile-an-hour winds. Who knows? That'll be something better than that, but it's crazy. But we'll talk about that over on Mike in the Midwest. So if you want to support the show on Patreon, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Give me a follow on the social media. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. You can follow the show at BeOurGuestPod. Subscribe to the show, Facebook and YouTube, to search for the Be Our Guest Podcast. And wherever you download the show, please leave us a rating and a review, either Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you download the show. We'd love a rating and a review, because here's the thing. all the those stores where you get your podcasts, they rate the shows on the newer shows get more love. I'm telling you what, we are not a new show. We are almost 14 years old. We are not the new and the hot thing on the block. We're the old gray-haired podcast, but that's okay. We love what we have, but it helps folks find us. We love finding even more listeners. So if you wouldn't mind leaving us a rating review here this week when you get some downtime, hopefully from work, we'd sure appreciate that. All right, we're going to let you go to go eat some Christmas cookies. Say Mike said you had to, because you do. That's your assignment this week. I used to be a teacher. I still have my degree, and I can still give homework, and that homework can be to eat Christmas cookies. All right, so for Jeff out in Central Illinois, I'm Mike here in the St. Louis area, wishing you a great Monday. Whatever you do, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.